Okay, let's unpack this. Imagine a world where our machines, especially those in really extreme environments like space, can make lightning-fast, intelligent decisions. And while doing that, they're just sipping power and ensuring absolute reliability. Sounds a bit like science fiction, right? But it's rapidly becoming reality. Not through magic, but thanks to some really innovative engineering. Today, we're doing a deep dive into one specific and I think game-changing framework, Clepsydra. What exactly makes it so novel and, unique? We're going to give you the elevator pitch first, and then we'll peel back the layers, show you exactly why that pitch is actually correct and where its true genius lies. By the end of this, I think you'll have a few surprising insights into how space AI is evolving.
Yeah, and what's truly fascinating here, I think, is how Clepsydra tackles these awesome conflicting demands.
Yeah.
We've got high performance, super low power consumption, and rock-solid reliability, all in embedded systems. Think of it as enabling, well, genuine AI directly in space,
Yeah.
taking these complex, data-heavy operations that used to need constant ground control and moving them right onboard the spacecraft itself. And this shift, it yields some really groundbreaking results. Performance, flexibility, integrability, it fundamentally changes what's possible for autonomous space missions.
Okay, so let's set the scene first. My first thought is always, look, our smartphones handle complex AI all the time. Why can't a satellite with all that, advanced tech do the same easily?
Yeah.
What are we missing about the challenges? What makes running AI on a satellite or a rover so much harder than, say, on your phone or in a big data center?
That's a really crucial question. And it highlights the unique demands of the space environment. First off, missions have incredibly diverse requirements. Just totally different needs. Some absolutely demand real-time responsiveness. Like millisecond latency can be the difference between success and failure. Think autonomous navigation around an asteroid. Others, they prioritize minimal power use above everything else.
Yeah.
Every single watt on a deep space probe matters. It means less battery or maybe less science you can do. So the onboard software has to be incredibly adaptable. It needs to handle varied operational needs, from responding instantly to an event to just sipping power when it's cruising. And then on top of all that, everything has to adhere to these unbelievably strict ECSS standards.
Right, the European standards.
Exactly. European Cooperation for Space Standardization, for reliability, safety, performance, and for AI algorithms, where you need absolute trust in the decisions it makes. Those standards are vital, and they are incredibly difficult to meet.
Okay, so it's not just make the AI work. It's make it work perfectly, under extreme conditions, efficiently, and then prove it meets these almost impossibly high standards. Wow, that sounds like a real minefield. So what are the traditional pain points? What happens when you try to do this with existing tech?
Exactly. It really is a minefield. Historically, current hardware and older software architectures, they often just max out. Even with low to medium data volumes, this leads to really inefficient use of resources. Engineers end up having to choose, either sacrifice data quality or try to transmit everything back to Earth for processing. And that's slow, it eats up bandwidth,
Right.
and it means excessive power consumption, even for pretty basic AI processing. Then there's the challenge of specialized hardware, like FPGAs,
Yeah.
field programmable gate arrays.
Oh, yes, FPGAs. Powerful but tricky.
Very tricky. While they offer fantastic low power and high performance for specific tasks, programming them is immensely complex. It's almost like needing to redesign the circuit board every time you want to change the software. Tools like, say, Xilinx Vitis AI can help, sure, but they often have limited support for new or custom AI models. So porting your latest AI becomes incredibly cumbersome, and honestly, success isn't guaranteed. This whole combination of limitations, it leads to low determinism you can't reliably predict when a task will finish. High power needs, frustrating data losses because of processing bottlenecks, and large response latency, which, as we said, is often a complete non-starter for critical space operations.
Okay. So that's a pretty clear picture of the problem. It almost sounds insurmountable, actually. But this is exactly where Clepsydra steps in, you're saying, with a really different idea. Let's get into what makes their approach so fundamentally different. I'm really intrigued by this lock-free programming concept. Can you unpack that for us?
Right, so if we connect this to the bigger picture, Clepsydra's uniqueness really comes from its novel approach to high-performance AI inference. And this approach, it's rooted in state-of-the-art academic research, data pipelining, combined with these lock-free algorithms. Now, to understand lock-free, let's quickly touch on traditional parallelization first. You've got multiple processing units or threads working on different parts of a problem at the same time, right? They often need to access shared resources, like a specific piece of memory. To stop them clashing, traditional methods use locks.
Okay, locks, like a gatekeeper.
Exactly like a gatekeeper. Think of that single-lane bridge analogy. Only one car or thread can pass at a time. If the bridge is locked by one car, others have to wait. They try to acquire the lock. If they can't, the thread gets suspended, put on hold.
Waiting at a red light, basically.
Precisely. And this leads to something called context switches. The CPU has to stop, save the state of the waiting thread, load up another one. These context switches are, well, they're non-deterministic. You can't predict exactly when they'll happen. And they consume power because the CPU is constantly juggling tasks.
So you're saying it's like a traffic jam, cars constantly stopping, starting, waiting for that bridge to clear. That sounds incredibly inefficient, especially for time-sensitive stuff in space.
Exactly. Massively inefficient. Clepsydra, however, uses lock-free programming techniques. Specifically, it relies heavily on what's called compare and swap, or CAS. These are atomic operations.
Compare and swap. Okay.
So instead of a thread waiting politely for a lock, it just tries to update a memory entry directly. It's like a quick negotiation. Is this spot free?
Yep.
Okay, I'll take it.
Yeah.
If another thread just grabbed it a microsecond before, the first thread doesn't halt and wait. It just tries again immediately.
Ah, so no suspension.
No locks, no context switches. Now, this can involve what we call busy wait threads, might be spinning, trying again and again. But the overall benefits are huge. Dramatically less CPU consumption, much lower latency because there are no unpredictable pauses, much higher data throughput because processing is more continuous, and a really substantial increase in determinism. You get highly predictable performance.
That makes sense. You avoid the red lights, just sort of nudge forward until the path is clear. But what's the catch here? If lock-free is so much better, why isn't everyone doing it? You mentioned it's an extremely difficult programming technique. Can you unpack that a bit? What makes it so hard to get right?
Yeah, that's absolutely the trade-off. Implementing lock-free algorithms correctly is extraordinarily complex.
Yeah.
Seriously difficult. You're dealing with the absolute lowest levels of memory access, CPU instruction sets. You have to make absolutely sure that even if multiple threads try to write to the exact same memory spot at the exact same nanosecond, the system stays consistent and doesn't corrupt data. It requires a deep, deep understanding of memory models, cache coherence, very careful thought about every single instruction, and debugging. It's notoriously difficult because these race conditions where the timing of operations changes the outcome are often completely non-reproducible. You can't reliably make the bug happen again to fix it.
Nightmare.
Total nightmare. So while the benefits are transformative for demanding systems like in space, very few teams actually have the expertise to develop and deploy production-ready, lock-free solutions. That expertise, that's a huge part of Clepsydra's intellectual property, their IP.
Okay, right. So here's where it gets really interesting for me. How does this lock-free concept, with all its efficiency, how does it tie into data pipelining specifically for AI, especially these deep neural networks?
Right. This is the absolute core of Clepsydra's innovation. What they've done is combine this really challenging lock-free concept with a very sophisticated two-dimensional threading model specifically for AI inference. Think of an AI model, a deep neural network or a DNN, as a series of distinct layers, right? Each one does a specific computation.
Yeah.
This new pipelining algorithm has three main interconnected elements. First, it uses these lock-free ring buffers. Imagine a circular conveyor belt.
A ring buffer. Okay.
It connects the various matrix multiplication operations that happen within and between these AI layers. Data flows seamlessly, efficiently between steps. No stopping, no reallocating memory, and crucially, no locks. Second, it uses something called FPU vectorization to speed up those matrix multiplications.
FPU vectorization. Sounds technical.
It sounds technical, but think of it this way. Huh. Your computer has a special part, the floating point unit, or FPU, that's super good at the kind of math AI needs. Vectorization is like telling that FPU, hey, don't do one calculation at a time, do a whole batch simultaneously. It dramatically speeds up those core AI computations.
Got it. Batch processing for speed.
Exactly. And third, they dedicate one ring buffer per thread. So each matrix multiplication step happens in its own isolated thread. This reduces contention, less fighting over resources. This novel, highly optimized approach allows for really careful configuration of what they call event loops.
Event?
An event loop is basically a program structure that's always watching for and dispatching events or messages. Clepsydra system lets you carefully allocate different memory and CPU resources to each individual layer of the DNN.
Granular control.
Precisely. This level of control lets you optimize the entire AI process for specific mission goals. Need minimal CPU use to save power? Fine. Need minimal latency for real-time decisions? You can tune for that. Need maximum data rate to crunch huge amounts of science data? Also possible. And this is how Team Sutter can process data at, get this, 2 to 8 times the data rate.
Wow.
And reduce power consumption by up to 75% compared to standard AI solutions like, say, TensorFlow Lite.
Wow. Okay. Those numbers, a 2 to 8 times data rate increase, up to 75% power reduction, those aren't just small improvements. That feels like it could really redefine what's possible for onboard processing. Like, what would that actually translate to for, say, a satellite taking pictures of Earth? Oh, huge difference. For an Earth observation satellite, it could mean processing raw high-resolution data directly onboard to find, say, forest fires or illegal fishing in real time. Instead of sending back maybe compressed images that lose detail, or waiting hours for ground processing.
So faster insights, less data to send back.
Exactly. It drastically cuts bandwidth needs, allows for immediate action, and boosts the mission's value. And for a rover, that 75% power reduction could mean its mission lasts months or even years longer. It could explore much more territory on the same battery.
That's a massive leap forward. Okay, but how versatile is it? We know space hardware is incredibly diverse, often custom built. Can Clepsadro work on all these different kinds of space hardware and operating systems? Or is it locked into one specific ecosystem?
No, absolutely. And this is a major part of its uniqueness. It's why it's so potentially transformative. Think about it. Building software for space isn't like building for your laptop, right?
You're dealing with maybe decades-old processor architectures, very specific radiation-hardened chips designed to survive space, mm-hmm. and these highly specialized real-time operating systems that prioritize predictable behavior above everything else.
Mm.
The real genius of Clepsydra isn't just that it runs on one of these things. It's designed for broad compatibility across this incredibly fragmented landscape. It supports standard Linux, sure, but crucially, it also supports ECSS-qualified real-time operating systems like RTEMS 5 and RTEMS 6 SMP. Those are critical for reliability.
Okay, the ones space agencies actually use.
Exactly. It also runs on a wide range of processors, common ones like x86 and ARM, but also specialized space-grade ones, Leon 4, Leon 5, RISC-V chips like NOELV, Molar Fire,
mm-hmm.
specifically the GR740 and GR765 RadHard chips. And beyond that, it expands to incorporate various hardware accelerators, things like ISD's HPDP, Ramon Space's RC64, even generic FPGAs and GPUs.
But plays nicely with others.
Very much so. This multi-platform support enables a whole new way of doing onboard data processing. It really delivers groundbreaking results in performance, flexibility, integrability. It means space agencies don't have to reinvent the wheel for every mission. Clepsydra kind of abstracts away that complexity, making AI deployment much more like plug and play, even across wildly different space platforms.
So what does this mean for actual applications in space right now? You mentioned asteroid landing, cloud detection. Can you paint a clearer picture of how Clepsydra enables these?
Yeah, it means we're really enabling proper AI in space, moving beyond just collecting data to making intelligent decisions right there at the edge. There were prior efforts, like the ESA-supported Katisu initiative. They evaluated DNN models on embedded Linux using earlier versions of this tech, showed significant performance boosts in data rates and power efficiency. And the Pattern project, that's focusing specifically on porting the inference engine to space-qualified hardware, the GR740, GR765 chips, and that HPDP coprocessor.
So real space hardware.
Real space hardware. Think about that asteroid landing mission again. Instead of getting images on Earth, figuring a safe spot, sending commands back, which takes minutes, maybe hours.
Too slow if something changes.
Way too slow. Clepsydra lets the probe process high-res imagery onboard, spot hazards like boulders, and figure out its landing path in real time, autonomously. Or cloud detection for Earth observation. A satellite can identify and just discard cloudy images before sending anything back. Saves massive bandwidth. Ground stations only get useful data. It's really pushing the boundaries for autonomous navigation and Earth observation.
Okay, and given this huge variety of systems, different mission goals, how does Clepsydra make sure it's performing optimally on all these different setups? That sounds like a configuration nightmare.
Ah, right. That's where the Clepsydra Streaming Distribution Optimizer, or SDO, comes in. It's another really key piece of the puzzle. This framework doesn't just run the AI. It intelligently optimizes how the AI runs. It figures out how to assign different layers of the neural network to different threads and how to distribute operations optimally among maybe multiple hardware accelerator nodes if they're available.
How does it figure that out?
It uses genetic algorithms for offline optimization.
Genetic algorithms, like evolution.
Exactly like evolution, essentially.
Yep.
It's a sophisticated trial and error process. It tries out tons of different configurations, keeps the fittest ones, the ones that perform best according to your criteria, and combines them over many generations until it finds the ideal setup for what you need, minimum CPU, minimum latency, maximum data rate. There's even an auto-tuning tool with a web interface to make it user-friendly. Engineers can just upload their AI model, specify their hardware, and the tool automatically finds and presents the best settings for that specific mission. It's like having an AI optimize your AI deployment. Crucial, given how unique each space mission is.
You mentioned FPGAs and these specialized coprocessors earlier. How does Clipsydra handle actually integrating with them? Because just getting different bits of hardware to talk nicely seems like a huge challenge in itself, let alone optimizing it.
You're spot on. Integration is a massive hurdle normally.
Mm-hmm.
For FPGAs, where that programming complexity is often a showstopper, Clipsydra uses a smart hybrid approach. Standard parts of the neural network, the bits that tools like Vitus AI handle well, they run directly on the super efficient FPGA. But any non-standard or custom parts, they run on the main CPU, and the Clipsydra SDK handles all the communication, the data flow between the FPGA and CPU seamlessly.
Okay, best of both worlds.
Pretty much. And for specialized coprocessors, like that HPDP or the RC64, Clipsydra AI runs on the host processor, but intelligently offloads the really heavy computational layers to the accelerator. It takes full advantage of its specialized power. For Ramon Space's RC64, for instance, it leverages its unique programming model. It guarantees something called concurrent read, exclusive write integrity.
Meaning
multiple tasks can read data simultaneously, but only one can write at any given moment. And it guarantees this without needing traditional locks.
Back to the lock-free idea.
Exactly. So you get both high performance and much simpler deployment of AI models onto these accelerators. It bypasses a lot of those typical integration headaches.
This is all seriously about pushing boundaries in space, enabling true autonomy, real intelligence out there. So what are some of the most compelling results? What numbers have we seen from this framework in real-world or close-to-real-world tests?
Yeah, the results are genuinely compelling, especially when you put them side by side with traditional methods. For a UNET model that's often used for image segmentation, like finding features in Earth observation data running on an LS2046 processor, Clipsydra achieved a threefold increase in throughput, three times faster.
Three times.
Plus a 20% reduction in CPU usage and a 50% cut in latency compared to TensorFlow Lite. So process three times the images, same time, half the delay, less power. Huge win.
Definitely.
For a coronal mass ejection, CME detection model vital for space weather warnings. Results showed up to a fourfold increase in throughput, 30% CPU reduction, and a massive 66% latency reduction.
Faster warnings, more prep time on Earth.
Exactly. Faster warnings mean more time to protect satellites, power grids, astronauts. On an OPS SAD equivalent processor that's a platform ESA uses for in-orbit experiments, benchmarks showed a solid 30% reduction in latency and 20% less power consumption, extending what those experimental missions can do.
Yeah.
And it's not just space. In robotics, using ROS2, the robot operating system, the Clipsydra ring buffer executor, combined with those genetic algorithms for tuning, significantly boosts data processing rates and cuts CPU load for heavy tasks. A big deal for autonomous robots on Earth, too.
Okay, and the really critical part for space compliance. You mentioned ECSS standards earlier. For AI, where maybe the exact requirements aren't always crystal clear, like traditional software, that must be a monumental task. How does Clipsydra build trust and actually meet these incredibly rigorous certifications?
You've hit on a really critical point there. It's tough. Clipsydra is actively working on a clear path towards compliance, specifically with ECSS EST40 for software development and ECSS QST80 for software quality assurance. They're aiming for criticality level D, which is highly demanding.
Level D, right.
And it is particularly challenging for AI systems because, like you said, functional requirements can be a bit fuzzy compared to, say, a flight control system where it's do X, then Y. Clipsydra tackles this with several rigorous steps. There's extensive unit testing on various platforms like Standard by 86 Linux. There's robust end-to-end verification on the actual target space hardware. And a really strong focus on code coverage, especially something called Modified Condition Decision Coverage, MCDC.
The CDC.
Yeah, it basically ensures that every possible condition and decision outcome within the code has been tested. It gives extremely high confidence in the software's behavior under all circumstances. And for situations where maybe the toolchain itself isn't certified, like for that HPDP coprocessor, they use pragmatic mitigation strategies. Things like output-based validation, checking the accelerator's results are correct, side-by-side testing against CPU versions to ensure consistency, and meticulous detailed documentation. All these measures are designed to build that trust, to ensure reliability, determinism, and correctness, even in the most unforgiving environment we know.
It's really clear, listening to all this, that the Clepsydra framework isn't just, you know, a small step forward. It feels like a fundamental shift in how we approach AI for edge applications, especially in this incredibly demanding space environment. By combining that lock-free programming with sophisticated pipelining, and then adding adaptive AI-powered optimization on top, it really seems to deliver unprecedented performance, efficiency, and flexibility.
Indeed, I think that's fair to say. This framework is truly enabling powerful AI capabilities directly onboard spacecraft. It dramatically reduces the reliance on ground stations, saves that critical bandwidth, enhances autonomy for really vital missions. Advanced Earth observation, fully autonomous navigation, complex space robotics. It's fundamentally about making these intelligent systems inherently more efficient, more reliable, and ultimately more deployable across the vastness of space.
So what does this all mean for you listening to this? If this level of high performance, low power, incredibly reliable AI can be deployed effectively in the harsh vacuum of space, miles away from the nearest data center, what other edge environments could it revolutionize right here on Earth? Environments far beyond what we typically think of for AI deployment. Think about maybe industrial robotics in difficult locations, remote infrastructure monitoring, maybe autonomous vehicles operating in really challenging, disconnected areas. The implications, when you start thinking about it, are truly enormous.